Just lift my hands, be comfortable. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You can't hear? Can the rest of you hear me?
I can barely hear you. And I got mine up high, but I thought I'd let you know I can hardly hear what you're saying.
Well, that's fine. But next time I get up and I start preaching, send me a text, okay?
Let me see if I can do this a little bit better. Praise the Lord. Let's see what we got going on here.
Oh, yeah, when you're supposed to, I hear you good, yeah.
Let me see if I can speak a little louder. I was drinking his ears and getting older. She's getting hard of hearing, so let me try to turn myself up a little bit.
Let's go back.
Praise the Lord. Like I said, can you hear me now? All right, praise the Lord. I'm thanking God for getting us, getting me there and getting me back and getting me through it. You know, you might think that you don't need the Lord when you work out things with people, but you do.
Yes, you do.
You know, people are human and they have a way. So I thank God for getting me through it. And I thank God for the peace of God that passes understanding.
Yes.
Because the Word of God says you're supposed to seek peace with all men.
Amen.
And that takes some Holy Ghost to do that. I've long since grown past the point where I just put up with people because of who they are.
Yeah.
It comes down to a point after a while where you're supposed to be peaceful with all people. And when people are not peaceful, stop being around them.
Yes.
So that you can have your own peace. So I thank God for paying me through. And if you're in Colossians, the third chapter, to mention Colossians, the third chapter, did anybody find that for you yet? Mm-hmm. Chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm going to start about verse number, I'm going to start about 10. I was talking to someone just this last week, and I was telling them, and I had a chance, because I love it when the Spirit gives me an opportunity to tell people who are so sure of themselves. The Spirit, one thing that the Spirit says and one thing about me, you know, you can like me or not like me, but I'm an honest person.
Yeah, amen.
I say that before God.
Amen.
You might not think that's a big virtue. You might think that the big grin and all that's a virtue, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I won't cheat you. I'm an honest person.
Amen.
I won't give you the Word of God that's not the Word of God. I won't use you deceitfully and use you for my own ends. And you know what? God is an honest God.
Yes, He
is. He told us we need to be honest with everybody.
Yeah.
And I look at verse 10 of Colossians 3, and I love it because I love the Old Testament, but there's some people who just, you know, they love the New Testament. I love both of them. In Colossians 10, he says, no, I have to start at 8. But now ye also put off all these, talking to all the people who have come to the Lord, who've made Jesus Christ their Savior, and who have believed in Christ, whose names are written on high. He says, now it's time for you to start living like Christ and start being like him. And I noticed something when I look at all the preachers and everybody everywhere. People like to have motivational speakers and people give them a word of something mm-hmm. that enhances their life. But every enhancement you need in life is written right here.
Amen.
And he says, one of the things you have to do, and one of the things that people do with their motivational speakers, they give you all these things that you need to do, but they won't come down and be honest with you and say to you, but you're going to have to change.
Yes.
There's much about, you can't put on a new pair of shoes until you take the old ones off.
Amen. That's right.
No, you can't. You might just keep getting bigger shoes, but the shoes on the bottom, on the inside, closer to your feet, they're old ones.
Yes.
So he says in this, and put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man and his deeds, or seeing that you, when you come to Christ, you need to stop being the way you were and become someone who's like it in Christ. And this is not just a hardcore Pentecostal message. When I get near the end, you're going to say, you know what? I want to do that.
Yeah.
Because he tells them in this, it's not just a do this because I said so. He tells them why they really need to do it.
Yeah.
So he goes through and he says to them, have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. In other words, he says, put on, start being like God. Start trying to be like God. Start trying to be like his son, Jesus Christ, who's the image, the brightness of his glory, and his perfect image. He says, start trying to be like him. And where there's neither Greek nor Jew, in other words, stop being partial. Circumcision or uncircumcision, no respect of persons. Barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but all is all in Christ. He said, stop playing the games and having particular people you like. I'm not saying you like everybody.
Yeah.
But if you don't care to be around somebody, let it be because of what they do and what they are. Don't just let it be just because you just choose some people, and that's just what you like.
Yeah.
You don't have to learn to be more impartial. And he says in this, put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, lots of mercy. Learn to be merciful.
Yes.
Learn to be merciful. Say, well, I feel sorry for some people. No, when you see people who act a fool, you need to say, I feel so sorry for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you see people who can't hold their temper, you know what you need to say?
Yeah,
I feel sorry for
them. That's right.
That's the best they can do. When you see people, do a lot of things that they do that you get angry about, you know what you really need to do? You actually need to feel sorry for them. And he says in this, kindness. You can never be too kind. They take my kindness for weakness. I'm going to tell you in a minute why you don't have to worry about that. We're getting there. Humbleness of mind. We have people who are, we tend to be very high-minded. It doesn't take much. When I'm teaching on Tuesday nights in Love Not the World, one of the things I start to realize about me and as well as a lot, it doesn't take much for us, but for our minds to get really high. We can have the slightest accomplishment or the slightest success. We get high-minded even about the successes that God gives us. When the Lord blesses us, we get high-minded about that. I can sometimes listen to people sometimes in testimonies when God has blessed them with a house or a car or a job. And they're talking about God, but you can see how it has lifted them up, and it's not discouraging. He says, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, and meekness is not something you do. Meekness is something you have to become. It's not you can't act meek. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to make you become the sort of person.
Okay.
And that means you're like Jesus. You just encounter people, and you're not a floor mat. You're not a throw rug that people just walk all over you. But you're not haughty either, and you're not brash, and you're not always up. You're not one of these super aggressive, just everywhere everybody. He says in this, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, put on godly love. Now you got to go back to 1 Corinthians, the 13th mm-hmm. chapter, to define what all that is.
Yes, yes.
And he says, put on, start loving people like God, which is the bond of perfectness, or which, in other words, he says, that's what shows whether you are mature or not.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you learn whether or not you have grown in the Spirit or not. You know the charity that's long-suffering, kind, patient, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, that one.
Yeah.
The one that beareth all things, hopeth all things, believeth all things, that one.
Yes.
That's when you've really grown in the Spirit. And he's speaking to these people because they understand these words. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. In other words, what makes peace? This is what you need to go with. And let it be, you know, when you're searching to say, what should I do? In your heart, in your core, in your mind. Let it get to a point where you say, well, which way leads to peace?
Yeah.
And which way settles things?
Yes.
And which way resolves things?
Yes.
And which way do we end up being like God when it's all over? And which way brings the unity? And which way works things out in my life? And this is not just in church. You're going to find out in a minute. It's in everything. And he says, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Yes.
It can't dwell in you if you don't know it, so you need to read your Bible.
Amen.
In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him and to the Father, and the Father by him. Now, this first part of this, and it's warm in here, and we're saving money, so I'm going to take off my jacket because I don't want to turn on our air conditioner because I don't want to pay the bill. The first part that he puts in here when he says this speaks to our walk as saints of God, how we're supposed to change and how we're supposed to interact one with another. And whatever we do, we're supposed to do in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
We're supposed to come in and encourage one another and lift up one another. And this is what we do in our worship service and in our living as far as the church goes, because we're all one. And then he carries it over. He says, he goes even further. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And this is not a seminar on wives and husbands. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. In other words, he says, wives, you know, you're supposed to get along with your husbands, and you're supposed to work with them. You know, it's interesting that he says that, because sometimes I see people, and I've seen all kinds of marriages. I've seen wives who don't put their money together. I've seen wives who decide what they're going to do with their time. I made up my mind what I'm going to do with my time. You know, it doesn't concern you that your husband might want to go on vacation or anything else happens. You know, you don't work with him. He's not telling the wife to become a slave.
Yeah.
Right.
He's saying work with the man.
Yeah.
To the extent that you're able. And since the Holy Ghost is not unreasonable, if you've got a knucklehead for a husband, the Holy Ghost knows that he won't go along with anything.
Yeah.
But you do the best you can to work with him.
Yeah.
And then he says, and husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. In other words, he says, you know, learn to love your wife. Don't blame her for everything. I blame Paula for a lot of things that weren't her, but as I get older, I find out, you know, like, you know, you stop doing that after a while and you improve. And he's saying, this is supposed to work out. Remember, we're supposed to be changing because we're putting on the new man. You're not supposed to be you've been sitting up in church for 30 years and act like you did when you first got saved, and both of you have the same old habit, and nobody looks like God.
Yeah.
You need to buy a little song by the lady that she sings, Ain't That Just Like God?
Yeah.
And then you need to run around the house, and every time, sometimes you need to say, Ain't That Just Like God? You know, and children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And he also goes so far that he says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And then he says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now let's look at what we've covered. He talks about, first of all, our coming together to worship and how we're supposed to be as a people and how we're supposed to get along. We're not supposed to tear each other down.
No.
If we found out that one of us has a shortcoming, we're supposed to ask God, how do we build them up?
Right, yes.
And how do we cover that?
Yes.
We are never supposed to be satisfied with things that come in the body of Christ that tear it apart.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
That's why we were studying Sunday about Rehoboam and Jeroboam.
Yeah.
That was not supposed to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
Rehoboam had his way about him. He wasn't going to change. And he split Israel.
Yeah.
People split all the time because you have people who won't change and won't make up their mind. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither circumcision. In other words, law, those who are Jewish or who are Gentile.
Yeah.
And he tells us in the house of God among us, we are, above all people are supposed to be able to be kind and to be gentle and to have
yeah.
mercy. Why are we supposed to have those? Because God had mercy on us.
Yes.
And God is kind to us.
Yes.
And God is gentle to us. And God is long-suffering with us. God is patient with us. And
yes.
God puts up with us. And we say we want to be like God, then let's do that. I was telling the Uber driver the other day, there's so many times I've seen people I've said in my pastoring, and I've said to myself, I am through with them. And each time the Holy Ghost would say to me, God never told you he was through with you.
Yeah, that's right.
Who are you to say who you're through with? And he says in this, in our worship, and then let's look at the other category. Then he gets down to it. He says, and then when you leave the church and go home, he says, wife, don't leave all your sanctified self in the church. When you go home, act like a godly wife. And have some of that compassion and that kindness and that love and that gentleness. And get along with your husband.
Yeah.
And work things out with your husband.
Yes.
Have some patience with him. And husbands, when you leave the church after you prayed down heaven, after you came up and preached the house down, go home, and some of this love that you told us we ought to have some for your wife.
Right. Amen.
Love her like Christ loved the church. In other words, be ready to give your life for her. In other words, make up your mind. She and I are one. And we need to work as hard as we can in God to work this out. Now, Moses took care of it. He says, if you just can't get along, he says, then you need to go another way. But ideally, this is what you're supposed to do. So he's covered me at church. He's covered me at home with my wife, at home with my husband. And now he says, and now all you children, all of you, he says, you need to learn to obey your parents. And it can be done if you have a wife that's subject on getting along with her husband and a husband who loves his wife, they ought to be able to come together and be the kind of parents that children would obey their parents.
Yeah, yeah.
Then he says to the parents, and don't abuse your children.
Yes.
We don't use the word these days when we say don't provoke them. Later. We say don't abuse them.
Don't abuse them.
Don't
That's
run
right.
them off. Don't
right.
treat them rudely. Don't do all these things. Then he even gets down to us on our job. And servants, we're not servants, but workers. Let's change the word to workers, because we aren't slaves and servants, but workers.
Yeah.
He says, when you go to work, you're supposed to, because you're this person who's a new man and a new creature, you're not the one who's in the workplace who can't get along with anybody, who can't deal with anybody, who's so hard to be dealt with, and you're the person, you're the problem child in the workforce, and you're the one that everybody stands around the water coolers and they hope you retire next month and wish they never hired you to start with. And you're the boss's problem child. He says, when you go to work, you're not supposed to be that person.
Yeah, right,
you're not supposed to be the one whose reputation is for always being late, whose reputation is for always being in somebody else's business, whose reputation is for never doing a good job, that they can look at what's done and tell you did it. If that's the case, let it be because it's great.
Yes, yes.
This is what this verse means when he says, this is what you're supposed to do. Work for the job. You know, the job you're doing, you're supposed to do it well. Well, now, why is he telling me this? He could just stop at the verse up here where it says, and whatsoever ye do in 17, in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father. And that's where people like to stop because they like to have, you know, it's like Superman and Clark Kent. They like to have one person who comes up in here in church, but then when they leave church, they put on the glasses and they just become Clark Kent.
Yeah.
And here they're super saints.
Right. Yeah.
And they're everybody. And, you know, whatever the bishop says, I'm going to do. And however they do it, I'm going to do. But your husband can't get you to do anything.
Right. Yeah.
And you're just loving the people in the house of God, husband. And you just love it, you follow, and you know, and you'll forsake your wife to run around with all, you know, to run around with a little crowd of bishops and men and all this, and everywhere you look, here you are, but you won't take your wife to dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll pay for my dinner, but you won't buy your wife one. You see all this.
Yeah.
But you're just part of the body. I'm just loving the saints of God, and I love the fellowship. Can you and your wife fellowship?
All right.
Yeah.
Can you and your children fellowship?
Yeah.
Do you have a good harmonious relationship with the people you work with? Because all the way up to about verse number 10, it says you're supposed to put on the new man. And you're supposed to be like Christ.
Yeah.
Now what I'm doing is, you think, this is Friday night, he's preaching, I'm giving you the seminar that you pay money to hear motivational speakers give you.
Yeah, yeah.
When they tell you, you need to learn how to get along with people.
Yes, yes.
And when they tell you, you need to be able to control your emotions.
Yeah.
And when they say to you, you need to develop good work habits. And when they say to you, you need good time management.
Yeah.
And when they say to you, you're supposed to dress for effect. And when they say to you, you're supposed to do all this, this is what he's saying.
That's right, yeah.
But he's giving me a reason for doing it.
Yeah.
He's telling me why I'm not supposed to just have this life that I have in the house of God when I walk in here, when I come through the door. Yeah. I put on a whole different persona.
Yeah.
And I become a different person and all this. No, I'm the same person all the time. And I'm supposed to be godly all the time. And the reason for that is in verse number 23. Whatever. Everybody say whatever.
Whatever.
There is the word whatsoever. We don't put the so in there anymore. We just say whatever.
Whatever.
We don't walk around. You know, like that's how I can tell when saints, you know, sometimes I say to myself, some of these words you try to use, we don't even use anymore. We don't say whatsoever. We say whatever.
Yeah.
It's right in here because that's English at the time. So we use whatsoever, but it means whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, do it heartily and sincerely. Amen. Do it earnestly and diligently.
Yes.
And you started ending the sentence too soon. It's not just do whatever you do diligently and earnestly. The diligently and earnest part, the heartily part means do it with the real mind as if you're doing it to the Lord, because it says down in here, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive a reward of the inheritance, but ye serve the Lord Christ. I'm supposed to be the best worker because the Lord's going to bless me.
Yes.
I'm supposed to be good to my wife because the Lord's going to reward me.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to treat my children right because the Lord's watching.
Me.
What? It makes my wife feel good. It makes my wife happy. That's a reward. But there's a greater reward because God is watching.
Yes.
It makes my job promote me. It makes the people in my job love to work with me. It makes my life happier in the earth. It gives me peace because I work with everybody and I'm easy to work with. But there's a greater reward.
Yes.
I have a greater one. God is watching me. And the Lord is giving me the wisdom to be able to walk peacefully in a sinful world.
Yeah, amen.
If I love my wife, I can live peacefully on a sinful earth. Because wisdom that comes down from above is first of all pure, but then it's kind and it's gentle.
Yes.
And it says in another place when it talks about the wisdom that's from God, it works things out and the peace of God comes with it.
Yes.
He's telling me now, if I live like God wants me to work, so that I'll have an everlasting reward, it'll help me while I'm living here, and I won't have to keep going to counselors and pay $47 for this seminar and $50 every Saturday. I know there's people who don't like to go to church, but every time I look out there, one of the people I know has got a seminar they need to pay for.
Yeah.
I mean, all of them are right here.
Yeah, amen.
If you find yourself in the house of God with a good preacher.
A good preacher, now there you go.
Not an entertainer.
Yeah.
But someone who's doing the will of God.
God, amen.
And has the word of God.
Yeah.
And someone who insists that the way of the Lord and the Spirit of God move. You don't need a lot of counselors and a lot of seminars.
No, that's true.
Because he's saying, if you will be on your job
heartily as unto the Lord. Because when I come before God, yea, Lord, I want to submit, I surrender all, yea, Lord, so we say. But he says, everything I do, I need to make up my mind, God is watching you. Everything I see, I need to make up my mind, God is seeing you. Everything I do, God is judging you. Everything I put my hands to, God has a decision in whether it's right or wrong. God is pleased or displeased with what I'm doing.
Right.
And I need to make up my mind, I'm going to forgive because that's what I'm supposed to do. Because God is watching me. And I'm going to be kind, not because I'm going to be kind to him because he's kind to me. I'm going to be kind to her. She's so nice. That's why I'm nice to her because she's so sweet. I'm going to be nice to you. You're not sweet. I know a lot of people I'm nice to.
Yes.
And they can act as crazy as they want to. But I know what God expects of me. You see, here's the point.
That's right.
You might reward me with some reciprocation. You might, you know, if I'm a good worker, I expect my job to pay me. But it's not like the reward I get from God. Because my job, no matter how much they pay me, they can't come when my mind's disrupted and give me peace. Right. No matter how much my job pays me, it can't come and heal my body. No matter how much I love my wife, she can only pray for me, but she can't heal me. There's so many things and rewards that I get in the earth, but there's a reward that comes from God.
That's right.
That makes it all worthwhile. It's worth it not to fight with you because God has a reward for me. It's worth it not to be on odd, you know, not to be out with you, because God has a reward. It's worth it to treat Paul and Smith right, because God has a reward for me. It's worth it to be a good father to my children, because God has a reward for me.
Amen.
And if they walk off at some point in time and they never speak to me again, my reward would be if they were good sons and daughters. But if they happen not to be, God's going to reward me.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
I might have the world's worst boss, but God will show me how to be a Joseph in Potiphar's house. God will show me how to get the work done, so that at the end of the day, God is pleased and the Lord will bring me out.
Amen.
He gives him this long list. He says there's a way you're supposed to live. He says when it really comes down to it, in the first part, this is how you live among the saints. This is how you worship it. This is how you carry on the work of the church. He says, but when you walk out of those doors, there are some things you need to do, and stop feeling like, I'm always doing everything to everybody. Don't nobody do nothing for me. I've even said it myself. It ain't been long ago. That's why the Lord pointed it out to me. I said that was a couple of weeks ago. Didn't I say that was me? I said, I've been there for so many people, and when I need them, they weren't there for me. And the Lord brought me this, and he said to me, they don't have to be there for you. I'm there.
Amen. That's right.
I said, well, for some of them, you know, I've really carried them along. I've done a lot. You know, I'm just boasting before God and saying, you know, just as they say, all down in the mouth, got to pull my blood out of there so much for people laying down with me. And the Lord said to me, they don't have to do anything for you. He says, you aren't doing it for them. You are doing it for me.
All right, God.
I ask you to be a pastor. You're doing it for me. I ask you to be in a church. You're doing it for me. I ask you to walk in this way. I called you. Since I'm the one who calls you, I'm the one who will reward you. I'll see you through. Don't worry about it.
The Lord will see us through.
You did it, and it was right thing to, you know, because you'll sit back there, you know, I ain't known everyone treating me like that. I wouldn't have done it. Yeah. But you're not doing it today. It's the way of the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
The way of the Lord.
It's a reward.
Yes.
That comes from God.
He's
the one that's going to reward me for being a good husband. He's the one who's going to reward me for being a good father. He's the one who's going to give me the great reward for being a good brother, for being a good pastor, for being a good worker, for being a good enemy. God's going to do it. God will see me through. And that's why the peace of God comes. He's the one. Whatever you do, the next time you're in a confrontation, remember, I have to resolve this as if the Lord is watching me, because he is. And I need to work this out. in a way that the Lord would have me work it out, because God is watching me. And I need to see this through. Oh, too many of us, you're just caught up on, I know we preach and we teach and we are pastors, elders, bishops, whatever you want to call us, whatever our positions are. But you look so hard and you're so hung up in us, you don't look at who's
giving the reward.
Giving the reward?
Amen.
That was what you said, right? And you feel like when Bishop so-and-so is pleased, everything's fine.
Yes.
But you know what God does? God follows you home. Because in this first part down here, singing with spiritual songs and hymns, and glorifying God, that's what you do up in here. But then you go home with your wife and your husband and your children.
Yes.
Then you go home to your job. And God follows you home. And you want to know why you're not growing in spirit. It's because you're not doing a whole job in God. I hear people say all the time, y'all don't have enough church. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
We have enough. Yeah. I'm not saying we couldn't have more, but we have enough for you to live holy. The problem is, you're trying to keep us living holy in here.
Yes.
You're trying to make sure we're righteous in here.
Yeah.
And I've even heard him say, I don't care what you do when I was in the parking lot, just as long as what you do in here. That ain't God.
That's not God. Amen.
God cares about what you do in the parking lot.
Yes.
That ain't God. No. Y'all get away on that job, y'all do whatever you want to, but when you come up in here, no, that ain't God.
God, that's right.
God says you're going to do what you need to do before me in here.
That's right.
And you're going to do what you need to do before me out there too.
Amen. Yes.
Because God follows you, unless you have a locker in the back, and when you come in here, you open it and get your Holy Ghost, and when you go home, you put it back in your locker and leave. Is that what you do? Is that the way it is? Is that what it's like, y'all, Jenkins? You just have God when you're in here, but when you go home, you're on your own?
Yeah.
Is that the way it is, Elder Rose? I don't think so.
No.
Elder Layton, is that the way it is? We just have God when you're in here? No, it ain't.
No.
We come in here and we meet God and we carry Him with us. He goes everywhere we go.
Oh, amen. Yes.
God is watching when me and Paula are hard.
Yes.
God is watching.
Yes, He is.
When we're, whatever we're doing, when we're showing out with each other, God is watching.
Yes. Whatever.
And He's going to see if we're going to employ what He has given us to be in this new man that's given to us. And, and if everybody can get that, that's why marriages don't work. You think God's not watching because you left Him in church. He came with you.
That's right. Amen.
Yes, He is.
Yes.
He dwells in you.
Whatever you do.
Wherever you are.
We'll use the Bible's word. Whatsoever you do. Do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. In other words, it ain't the people we're trying to satisfy. Although you will satisfy people. And although you will live in peace, because it says when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. If you please God, God will work out everything else. But the person you're trying to satisfy, the approval you want is God.
Yes.
I watch people run all over the place trying to get the approval of people. I'm not saying you shouldn't have their approval. But I'm saying it's God's approval that you must have. And when your ways please God, He'll work it out with everybody else.
Yes, sir.
God first. I got to do this because so-and-so. I got to do this because God says so. Everybody's saying. Peace. Wonderful peace. Where does it come from? Coming down from the Father. Not from me. Comes down from the Father above. Now you really want to get serious about going there and reading James and find out that what earthly wisdom is all about is sensuous and devilish. Seems good, but it's not. We're supposed to be someone in God. Sweep hold for my spirit. Charity in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter that we're supposed to be completing. In another place it says that, oh, the Bible is so good. Children of God, won't you read the Word of God? Won't you stop looking down people's throats and read the Word of God? It says in a place that we are complete in Him. In other words, we grow up in Him. We're mature in Him. I'm complete in Him. Paula doesn't complete me and I don't complete her. We become one, but we're not complete unless we're in God. Unless our manner, our way starts to be like God, we'll never be mature in the spirit. I don't care how it does. I don't want to say outward appearance doesn't matter, because it does. But holiness doesn't come because of how you look, how sober you look. You can smile at the right time, grin at the right people, wave at the right people. Are you dressed in the holy dress? You go to the holy dress shop and buy all the holy dresses, or go to the holy men's suit shop. You can do all the things. Well, holiness comes because you're in God.
Amen. Yes.
It is of God.
Yes.
It's not a situation where clothes make the man.
Amen.
It is of God. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Give me a clean heart. I may work. It's one of these things where, I pray for you guys. Now, they went down since we were in the bathroom. I prayed for them in the bathroom, and it has actually gone down. In the name of Jesus, Lord, touch it. Every way, Lord, and I rebuke them in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch them and heal them in Jesus' name. And bless them and anoint them in the name of Jesus with music and for the love of God. In the name of Jesus. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we ask you to heal everybody. Lord, we ask you, stretch forth your hand of mercy. Lord, don't only heal our bodies, but heal our minds. Lord, come in by your Holy Spirit and give us a desire. The Word of God uses the word unction. Lord, give us a desire, Lord, a drive. Stir us up. Give us a mind to read the Word of God. Slowly and methodically and meticulously, Lord, so that we understand the words and don't just gloss over them. Lord, I pray, Lord, and let the Word of God, when we read, Lord, not just be knowledge but revelation, reveal unto us, Lord, the intent of your Word, O God. Lord, so that we would see that there's more to it, Lord, than just a recital or a recitation. Lord, I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, the Holy Ghost, Lord, would flood and fill our souls. Come in, O God. Sweep over us, O Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, your Spirit would lead us and guide us, O Lord, into all truth, O God. Lord, lead us and guide us into all truth. In the name of Jesus. Lord, touch us. Let your Spirit, Lord, dwell in us, Lord, and be alive in us, Lord, so that he touches every fiber of our being, every part of our life, Lord, that if it is our life, Lord, that we want to touch it by the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, all that we have to do with, Lord, we want to be in God. Lord, we want God to be over and in it, around it, around it. In the name of Jesus, come in, oh God. Come into our lives. Lord, not just when we're in the place of worship, but Lord, let there be a worship in our hearts wherever we are.
Yes, Lord,
when we leave here, Lord, let us dwell in the Spirit so that we carry worship with us.
Yes.
Lord, carry the Word of God with us. Lord, that it's alive in us, O God, that the peace of God dwells in us, O Lord.
Yes.
Peace of God rules over us, and the Word of God dwells in us completely.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we glorify your name. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and thank you for your mercy. We pray, Lord, you bless all the people of God. And we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I thank God for all of you. I would encourage everybody to go this day and learn to read the Word of God completely and not just pick out a scripture and make it be what you want it to be.
Yes.
Paul is teaching these people not just how to have a worship service. He's teaching them how to live in God. I thank God for the goodness of God. I thank him for the Word of God. I thank him for all of you. It's good to see Elder Russell.